This is Sam Philippe Bardi, coming out from the direction of Jerusalem. I career service. This is my one. So welcome you to today's webinar, the Compromising Balancing Act. Build your reputation and maintain your privacy. I think this is going to be a really great session today. I'm particularly glad that we'll have Chief Stanley Bryan with us. She is a Curry School grad with her master's in education from 1999. She is the founder of Best Fit Forward. And co-author of the Twitter job search guide. She has over 12 years of career development experience, and she's worked as a recruiter. She was career services director at Dartmouth School of Engineering. And she's also been a committee consultant for Microsoft Corporation. She is now the owner and operator of Benefit Forward, a boutique career management and resume writing and job search strategy firm that she founded in Manhattan in 2008. I think today's webinar is particularly apropos because we've had a lot going on for the last couple of weeks here about LinkedIn and particular, and she's going to be talking to us about So I do want to all of you that we have for a long anniversary two different LinkedIn sites that the university helps you out with. If you're from Islam, you can join the alumni only University of Virginia alumni group and enjoy the alumni only discussions and events for alumni. If you would care to join our open group, which is our newest group, for a bluff. I'm not myself, dude. I'm my own sweet parents and faculty staff. I've seen some employers, some recruiters, all of whom want us to support our the greater UVA community, our students, and graduates. We've just started that new group, and it's called the University of Virginia Career Networking Community. And we'll give you more information on that at the end of the program. But you might want to that second one is an open source group. Very easy to join, and we've seen it growing like wildfire for this group. This with me. So with that, I do want to turn it over to Chan and Lexi. I'm really looking forward to this. I hope you are too. Take a lot of notes about this. Make sure that you come back once you get your listening to this afternoon, because I think you'll find it pretty much full of information that'll be useful. So we look forward to your seminar here and take a wait chance. I'm going to turn off my tape. Thank you for the introduction, Emily. I'm delighted to be here with all of you today, and I'm looking forward to spending time with you. Those of you who are devoted Jefferson historians know that one of TJ's inventions was a polygraph with an auto pen that essentially created copies of all of his documents as he wrote them. And I wanted to start today by just reassuring you that you don't need to use your own pen to take copious notes, as we will be sending you a PDF of the slide deck after the presentation, and I also have a handout that goes along with that. So again, we will be sending you information after the workshop today, and as well as a handout, and I also have some additional materials on LinkedIn that you can send along to us. If you look to the left of your screen, there is a chat box, and I see somebody's drawn a little bit over my slide. That wasn't me, but I wanted to let you know that that as I talk, you can ask questions in the chat box, and I will be monitoring that. I will try to answer any of your questions as they come in, and again, and as they align with the content. And we'll also try to leave time at the end for additional questions. So, again, really delighted to be here with you today, and as you know, notice we're starting with a picture of someone on a tightrope, because we're talking today about a balancing act and something that I think has become increasingly important over the last 5 years in particular. There are so many changes that have affected all of us over the last 20 years, and I was just thinking back the other day to when I applied to UVA in the mid-90s. I remember looking at the UVA website in the only room of my company that had internet connection, and I guess I'm dating myself here, but it was, ironically, it was an aerospace organization with corporate members including Boeing and Lockheed Martin and literally thousands of rocket scientists, and there was only one computer with an internet connection. I'm also laughing at myself today when I think back to my first reaction to Facebook in 2004. When it first came out at Dartmouth, the Hanover police were using it as the go-to destination to find information about crimes committed on campus, and essentially the police were using pictures that were put up as a way to go after infractions at fraternities. So we have repeatedly told students to stay off the network. So when I heard colleagues were using Facebook in 2007, my first initial was that of literally shock. I think we fast forward today, and the tide has changed so very much. Today, 85% of employers say that a positive online presence can help a client rather than hurt them, and only 70% of employers say that they eliminate candidates based on what they find online. So it really is a delicate balance. I think for one of the first times today, employers are now looking much more positively about engaging with clients online and really advocating that candidates should be visible online because it is a force to get hired. And I think that's a big, big change. At the same time, it's really, in addition to putting good information out about yourself, it's also really important to look at the potentially negative information that's available out on you online, because unfortunately, of those 70% of employers who eliminate candidates based on what they're finding, essentially only 27% of those companies are going back to candidates and saying, hey, you know, I found something bad about you online. Would you like to take an opportunity to explain this to me? So I think it's really important that we know that. And today, really, our goals are very simple. We're going to talk about privacy. We're going to talk about how and what to share. And we're going to talk about online presence. Again, if you have questions, please feel free to ask. And let us know. You should be able to see my video now. I'm sorry about that. I thought it was on for a while. Anyway, delighted to see you all and waving hello. Again, we'll be again as we start to talk about privacy and presence. Please don't hesitate to ask me a question in the chat room. So I'm happy to answer anything as we go along today. As we start to talk about sharing and what to share and what not to share, I wanted to explain the difference between traditional media and social media. It's really kind of a simple one. It's about engagement. It's about how you engage. It's about sharing what you need to share and what you don't, and how you make that decision. And oftentimes, I look at that as a simple metaphor of leaning back versus leaning in. When you lean into something, you are actively engaged and you're having a conversation. it's very similar to dialogue. So think about when you are having conversations with friends on a Facebook wall, when you contact an employer to follow up. Leaning back is more of a passive experience. It's very similar to the process of applying for a job and waiting to hear the answer. And many companies, as you'll see in a minute, are finding themselves with the need to lean forward a lot more. This slide shows the number of hires that employers can expect from visits to their own website. And out of 826 visits to a corporate website, they can expect to have one hire. Every single job that gets listed in turn, on average, a job may get 100 applications. Those applications are scanned by keywords through the applicant tracking systems used by the companies, and they're ranked for relevance. And in fact, as Emily alluded to, I have worked as a recruiter, and one of the things that I did as a recruiter is for every job that I was advertising, I would set up keywords that I would look for in that person's resume. And so when I logged in to look at information, I would see, this particular candidate has an 87% relevance rating to the job that you're applying for. So that's why it's really important in your resume to have a summary of what you've done that comes up towards the top of your document that includes those keywords. So out of every 100 applications you submit, about 25 or for a job, 25 are viewed for a position, resulting in four interviews and one offer. And these statistics are from a piece that ran in the Wall Street Journal last week. And I'm happy to say and proud to say that this particular information comes from the talent function, which is a group that is co-founded and has a partner, Mark McMillan, who is a UVA alum. So many hat tip to Mark for these statistics. At the same time, I think it's important for you to understand how the cost of advertising has changed. So today I went on to monster.com just to check it out, and I saw that the cost to run an ad on monster.com today ranges between $210 and $395. If I were to post the same job on Twitter, that would essentially be free. Or if I wanted to send it out through Tweet My Jobs, which is a site that sends listings directly to your cell phone within 10 seconds of the job being posted, I may have to pay Tweet My Jobs the large sum of $3 for that to go out once. So it's a huge cost adjustment, as there are many benefits for employers to use social media. At the same time, statistics indicate that up to 90 out of 100 executive recruiters admit that they have Googled their candidates online. So it's really important to protect your digital footprint and to monitor what's going out with your name on it, and to know what's being said. In general, you may hear that, I've talked to job seekers before who simply said, or individuals who simply want to have a very professional presence online, they often say, I don't have 2 hours a day to spend on my LinkedIn. Neither do I want to. I don't want to maintain a personal be as preoccupied with maintaining a personal brand as much as I want to be doing my job. And I think one really important thing that you can do is to figure out how much visibility you need for your particular job and for your particular field. If you're applying for a job that requires a high security clearance and a degree of confidentiality regarding the work that you're doing. If you're an accountant, for example, there's no need to have a really high profile online, and in fact, it can really hurt you. As I like to say, nothing blows your chances at getting hired by the CIA than tweeting that you've just passed your security clearance. And broadcasting that to potentially thousands. So I think it's really important to just, as we go through this, to think about what's appropriate for your own profession. On the other hand, I was talking to somebody the other day who is seeking a job as a publicity assistant in New York, and one of the things that I said to her is, you know, if you're applying as a publicity assistant, your straight out undergraduate resume isn't going to get you the job because you need to apply for jobs as if you're a publicist, and publicists prepare very sexy marketing materials so that they can get their clients business. So you need to match your approach to the general approach of your profession. Any questions as we go on? Okay. As I mentioned, there's a big trend of employers getting social. 89% of companies. Oh, yes? A question? Okay. Hi, Chanley. I'm very concerned about having common first and last names so that how should employers be able to find me with Google searches, et cetera? And that is an excellent question, and I'm glad you asked. I was preparing to answer that today. But one of the things that I was going to say for individuals who have names that are common is figuring out either a variation of your name or combining it with your profession. So, for example, one of my friends from UVA is Brad Mills, and there are a lot of Brad Mills online, and Brad Mills has actually now goes by his he uses the first initial to his name, which I believe is Robert. So he says he's R, and then he uses his formal name, which is Bradford Mills. And then he uses that consistently across platforms. So if he's on LinkedIn, he's R. Bradford Mills. If he's on Facebook, he's R. Bradford Mills. Another aspect that you can do, let's say your name was Dave Matthews, which would be most unfortunate. The good news is that if you get arrested or have something, that you don't necessarily want shared in your background, the chances are harder for employers to find that. But when you do want to be found, you do need to figure out how to use a modification of your name. The recommendation that I have is either using your full name if it is unique enough, or combining it with your field. So, for example, if I was a publicist, I might put across platforms, Chanley Bryan, publicist, in as many places as I could, or even on LinkedIn, to have my field immediately connected to my name. So I hope that's a helpful answer to your question, and be happy to talk to that later. I see we have
one more question coming in about resumes and keywords, and I will answer that. I have plans to answer that exactly in a few slides, so hold on for that. So to take control of your process, you know, it really is about knowing what's being said about you. It's about influencing what comes up in a search, and I'm going to show you a few easy ways to do that, and being selective about the tools you use and how you share information. One of the things that I'm not going to focus on today, but I will mention briefly, and there will be information in your handout, is some of the many applications, the career and job search applications that are available to you through Facebook Connect. Two of those are Branch Out and Be Known, which is a tool that was developed by Monster. One of the reasons that I recommend using those very, very carefully is that often as soon as you join that network, I joined Be Known just to check it out, and all of a sudden I saw on my wall, there was a big piece about how I joined Be Known. There was the application attempted to reach out to my friends and get them to join, and also was pulling in information from my friends about what they'd done. And so I think you want to be really careful when you join any organization or any app that pulls in information from all of your friends. I know this week I've gotten a lot of requests from friends about a birthday app, and when I looked at it myself, it offered to send requests for other friends to join the birthday app to several hundred people, which I immediately said no to. But I think you have to be very selective about the tools you use and how you share information overall as we move forward. So that's something that I encourage you to think about. But so the first step in knowing your online presence is really to know what your search results are. And this is something that that we in the career profession call your GCred, or your Google credibility, and how what your Google search results look like. One of the things that I recommend, and I'll show you how to do this in a couple minutes, is to set up what's called a Google News Alert, which is basically just a filtered search. You can put it on your name, you can put it on anything, and then you can get the results sent to you anytime it goes across the wires. So, for example, if I'm speaking today, when this talk was advertised last week, I got several Google alerts just saying, you know, this program is advertised in these places. And then if I get something that's not appropriate, I can work to have it removed. But I think in general, the first way you want to start in terms of knowing what's being said about you is to calculate your Google search results. And there's a great tool that you can use to do that called the Online ID Calculator. And this Online ID Calculator was developed by Reach Branding, which is a company that helps people with personal branding. I recommend taking the results with a grain of salt, because you don't necessarily need to be a brand like Lady Gaga or Donald Trump or one of the Manning brothers. But again, if you are in marketing or PR or a front-facing or politics or a front-facing communications role, you really do need to demonstrate that you're creative and connected, and that you write well. And remember that any time you write something on the web, that is essentially a writing sample for you. An ideal target, I believe, is to have at least four mentions on the top two pages of your Google search results that relate to your name directly, and not just your name, but you personally, and that show what you do professionally. It doesn't have to be huge, but you do want to have a couple of mentions that show directly what you do in those top two pages, and I'm going to show you how to do that in just a moment. But that's a good way to get started as well. Again, the online ID calculator is a free tool. It will be on your handouts. It's at onlineidcalculator.com, and I've found it to be a useful way to just gauge online reputation. The one caveat, again, is that this is developed by people who believe in personal branding and marketing that. So you want to take care to know that. There's another tool called Visibility that can help you control your search results, and they will give you a button that you can put up on your website as well as to help you control what's most relevant about you or not. You can also use it on your business cards. And I think that this is a neat site. It's relatively inexpensive. I think it's $3 a month. And in comparison with another tool from a competitor named Reputation.com, which charges literally thousands of dollars for personal brand management or to digitally scrub any negative information, I think Visibility is a much more affordable option. Again, the Google identity pieces can really help you monitor mentions of your name. And I've got a, so again, here my search term here would be Chamley Bryan. I can get it as the information as it happens once a week, but it helps me get that information so that I can see what's going on. And I got a question here that I wanted to answer really quickly. With regard to a Google identity, is there any way to delete listings for your names? The best way to delete information is actually to I'm hearing a little bit of a ding here. I hope everything's okay. But I was just going to say that the best way to delete things is either to ask specifically that it be taken off, or alternatively, instead of asking that the information be taken off, work on getting better results from sites with a better search result. And so, for example, one of the things that isn't talked about a lot that I find incredible is that essentially last year, 75% of all U.S. page views came from 10 sites. And you know, your Facebooks, your YouTubes, your Google. So those 10 sites were the point of origination for all of the U.S. page views, 75% of all U.S. page views. So one of the things we're going to talk about in a minute is how you can use that to get additional information. In the interim, I got a question about how do I find keywords for jobs, and I promised to come back to this. And one of the things that I do to get a list of keywords for jobs and for scanners is to go to a job listing site. This was a job that I pulled off. I went to Indeed.com and looked at the University of Virginia's listings and found that the bioinformatics core department was seeking an analyst. So for this job, I cut and paste this text into a site called Tag Crowd. And again, it's just tagcrowd.com. You'll have the slides and you can see it. But when I did that, as a result, all of this information came back to me. And so I could see the keywords. And again, any keywords that you're looking at, oftentimes it's good to put quotation marks around any search term or your name. Ben, I'm also answering your question as I say this. If you want to make sure that you're getting the right information. So here, for example, I can see that software, technical, or visualizing work, those are both sort of two-word pieces that are coming out of this. And you want to pay attention to those patterns as you apply. But again, if you're doing a Google search or you need to have keywords, put those keywords close to one another so that they can be read. Or if you're doing a search on your, establishing a search on your own name, put those quotations around your name. And in fact, one of the ways that companies search for you or search for candidates is to use advanced Boolean internet search strings, such as your name, and such as, let's say, someone's looking for a Ruby on Rails developer. The abbreviation for Ruby on Rails is ROR, so they would put ROR in quotes. They might have senior developer and another quote, and they might put in a zip code and then the word resume. And if you try this out occasionally, especially in a big city, if I were to go to New York and say graphic designer 10025 resume, chances are very good that I will actually come up with some resumes from live candidates. So that's something that people do in the process of searching for candidates. In terms of building your online presence, as I mentioned, it's a really good idea to just simply manage your presence on the most highly trafficked site, because they all have highly trafficked openings. And also, if you're looking at, for a job in a specific field, it's also a good idea to be visible on the fields that are used by your colleagues. So, for example, if you're a lawyer, you may want to be on a law site very close to the Bar Association. And when you enter your information in your profiles, you really want to focus on presenting a clear, consistent voice across those platforms. So again, as with my friend Brad Mills, he's R. Bradford Mills on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and on Twitter. So so that's a key piece of this. Just looking to see if we have any other questions here. Okay. Don't see any right now, so please feel free to keep those coming. And next we're going to talk about how to build a presence on big sites. So again, as I mentioned, LinkedIn is one of the most accessed sites online, so I'm going to give you a few tips for that. Blogger is another big site online, which is actually a blog owned by Google. So if you blog on that, your Google results will be stronger. Google Plus is becoming a big site because of Facebook. And just having profiles even on a few of these sites that relate to your professional interests can really get you all of the public presence that you need in terms of showing employers that you have, that you are engaged with your field. And I think one important thing to mention right now is that employers really have an impetus to respond to candidates who apply through social media and through social networks. So one of the things that I've been doing recently through part of my work is I write for StartWire.com. They have a site called news.startwire.com, and I interview recruiters on an almost weekly basis about what they look for in candidates. So I've interviewed people from General Mills, from Steelcase, from Google, from McGraw-Hill, and one of the things that they've said to me is, you know, if you ask me a question on Twitter, if you ask me a question on Facebook, you know, I am required by my employer to respond to that. And so if you're asking, you know, if you're telling me you've applied, I'm going to look at that more, and I'm going to see that, and that's going to stand out. And I think that that's really important to keep in mind because sometimes it may feel very, very public to make a comment on a site, but in general, again, they want to see that, they like that, and it helps them separate the wheat from the chaff in terms of as they move forward through a process. And in fact, I talked to a recruiter not too long ago who said basically she came into work, she said, she's an active tweeter. She's a head recruiter for APCO Worldwide in D.C. And she said, I'm going to have a cup of coffee. I'm going to a meeting, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to look for candidates for this assistant position I'm hiring for. And essentially, when she came back, she had an email from someone who had seen the tweet and sent it to a friend, and she ultimately hired the resume that came on that was at her desktop when she got back. So I think sometimes just looking at that can be important. But I do think the challenge sometimes is figuring out when and how and what to say, because certainly we don't want everything that we do or all the questions that we have to be public ones. So I want to present you at this point with the model for thinking through those. I call this discretionary authenticity, or the art of presenting your genuine, authentic voice in an accessible, positive, and professional light. So I'm going to give you an example of that. And it's basically a framework to create conversations, show your personality, and not your digital dirt. So you think about your audience, you think about your intention of your message and how you want that to read, and then you think about what you want it to say. And here's an example of that. So I have a friend in New York who runs the social media outlet for a national top-tier consulting firm that recruits at UVA. And he had a problem getting to work because he was oversleeping. He's quite a social guy. And he needed a better routine, because his boss said, you can't keep coming in late to work. So obviously this wasn't something he wanted to go public with. And at the same time, he needed to get help from that. And so he decided to crowdsource that by really tailoring his message and saying it in a different way. So his question that I first saw on Twitter, and I've written out here a couple other ways he could potentially ask that, was, I'm looking for ideas to go to bed earlier. And ultimately, what happened from that was one of his friends wrote and said, hey, you know, I've been meaning to start running. I'm looking for someone to run with me. Would you be up, you know, could you go to bed a little earlier and run with me in the morning? And now my friend is actually an avid runner. So it worked very well. But again, the way that I recommend thinking through this is defining who you want to get your message, what you want to convey, and really tailoring that message. And I think it's especially important to think about how you use that when you're reaching out to people and connecting. I cannot tell you how many invitations I get every week that basically say, I'd like to connect with you on LinkedIn, and I don't know them, and it's a generic invitation, and I ignore it. But for a lot of people, they report those generic invitations, and some people even have their accounts deleted because they've sent too many of them, and it feels a little bit like spam. So LinkedIn does control that. So here's an example of how you might get a referral. So let's say you have friends who have an inside connection for a job, you want to secure an introduction. In fact, having a referral makes you 20% more likely to get hired. Again, 20%, and it's employer's number one favorite way to find candidates that they don't know any already. So a simple way to do that is when you're reaching out to somebody, first to express interest in them and remind them of a personal connection. Here I've got, how are you? Great to see you in May. Letting someone know that you've applied for a job or a position or you're interested in a company. I see you have a connection there. Would you be willing to make an introduction? And then following up by saying, what can I do for you? And in fact, recently, I met with the, I had an opportunity to hear a talk from the Emily Post Institute. And one of the things that they said is whenever you send out a thank you note or a greeting, you basically want to follow this format. So you want to have a gentle personal introduction in the first line of your paragraph or your first paragraph. Then you want to get to the meat of your message and say what you're looking for, and then you want to follow that up with a thanks. And one of the hallmarks of social media, actually in terms of social media etiquette, is this offering help to other people. In fact, I don't know if you've ever heard the term seagulling. But seagulling is about essentially if you're online or you're on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, and probably everyone knows someone who's a little bit like that, who only jumps on to say what they're doing and never talks about or helps anyone else. And so I think part of where that comes from is seagulls essentially, you know, have a bad reputation for not being very helpful at the beach. They just kind of come in, make a mess, and fly away. I encourage you not to be a seagull, and again, to say thank you and just follow up. It's all pretty common sense, but it's things that you want to keep in mind. With that, I'm going to ask you if you've got any more questions on this before we move into three different social sites that you can use for success. So any questions coming in here? I've got, are we going to discuss privacy? So yes. So my first suggestion would be we're going to answer, I'm going to show you a site that allows you some privacy at the very end. And I also would like to get specific questions from you on privacy. So if you've got a particular question about when to be private and when to not go private, please let me know. So I think it can be as for the question that I've got here about the how do you divide the time between your personal and your private marketing? Unfortunately, one thing that was said to me quite some time ago when I was first getting into social media was you can't. And in some ways, I also want to say you might not need to, and here's why. In fact, when I was writing the Twitter job search guide, I interviewed 13 successful job seekers about how they found their job, and one of the things that I did was to ask that to take a look at all of their Twitter bios and to ask them about the approach that they used. And these were all individuals who'd found a job on Twitter. And what we found was essentially every single one of them had something personal in their Twitter feed. So it might have been that they were a specialist in making cocktails. It might have been that they liked to play tennis. That they were a swimmer, that they were a knitter. Every single one of them had something that was personal, and oftentimes it was the personal connection, just like at a cocktail party, it was that shared personal interest that sparked the conversation that led to the hire. So I think in a way it's hard to completely separate the two. But it's almost more of a dance, if that makes sense. And I can share with you a little bit more as we go through our three sites, which are LinkedIn, Twitter, and again, StartWire, which is the site I mentioned earlier. Of course, LinkedIn is the giant present. In terms of social networking, having a presence on LinkedIn will very quickly and almost automatically allow you to be seen. Because if you finish your profile, it's highly optimized for keywords. As Emily said earlier today, they have two great groups that they maintain in her office. There are over 250 networking groups for UVA alone, and LinkedIn is used by up to 95% of employers to scout for talent. In many ways, LinkedIn can be your online resume, online reputation, and calling card. And again, because it's so highly trafficked, it also tends to come up first in the Google search results. And I'm going to show you right here a quick way to optimize your own name. So as we talked about before, having a public it's really important to try to use the same consistent name across platforms. And one of the things that you can do with LinkedIn is you can reserve your own public profile URL. If you have a common name, it can be harder to get. And in that case, again, I really do recommend going to the middle name or potentially looking at something with your field. So for example, if I was a JD and my first name is actually Eleanor, and if I used Eleanor and there was another Eleanor Bryan and I had a law degree, I'd probably say linkedin.com/in/ChanleyBryanJD. But you can use, once you've got a URL, that address will forward directly to your LinkedIn profile, so you can use it on your business card, you can use it on your signature. Another important feature of LinkedIn that's often overused, often not used enough is the 2,000 character summary in introduction that they give you. In the summary, you want to use keywords and become conversational. And I'm going to show you what that looks like here. So just as someone asked, you know, what is, how do I create the boundaries between the private and the public? One of the things that I recommend is to combine them a little bit in a way that still showcases what you do best. And a lot of what I do for my private clients is to help them create these profiles. So this, for example, is someone who works in IT support and help desk environments who also scuba dives. So what his profile essentially does is to say, you know, here are the similarities between what I do in IT and what I do in scuba diving. And both of those, you know, it requires a no small amount of focus to make sure that everything works okay. And he gives information by telling a story that shows how he works. So that not only gives an employer a sense of what he enjoys and what he likes to do, but it also shows that employer that, quite frankly, he's a guy that they might want to have a beer with at the end of a Friday. And I think that's important. He also tells exactly what he's doing now in his career, that he's looking for work. He's very upfront with that. I think whether or not you want to, if you're looking for work, you know, it's up to you to disclose when and where you want to share that information, but a great way to do that is in a conversational approach. And again, I think that this type of communication really allows other people to lean forward. I've got a great question here from Kim who asks, are there personal profile subjects that we should avoid? For example, political views. And I would say yes, absolutely. Politics, religion, and sex generally should be, you should steer clear from them on a profile. But I think a lot of different other recreational activities can certainly be great metaphors for a LinkedIn profile and are worth sharing. When you apply for jobs on LinkedIn, I think it's really important, if you've got any connections there, to use the capabilities for referrals, because I think it's an important way, if you are actively looking for a job or you're using LinkedIn to manage your career, that can be very helpful. With that, I want to make two simple suggestions that are not on the slides. The first of which is to maintain your LinkedIn account with your personal email account, not your work account, and also to not say anything on LinkedIn or any other social network platform or any online upload of your resume that your employer or your past employer wouldn't be comfortable with saying. So, for example, if you came in and you streamlined the process in your last office, improving efficiency by 40% and eliminating the need for two positions, that might sound great on a resume and be very appealing. That may make a company very angry that you said it in public. So you and result in a challenge for you. So you really want to be careful about what you say and how you say it. And I also recommend, in general, being very attentive to how you present your information. So as you change your settings, or even as you change updates, take advantage of the LinkedIn privacy settings and, you know, just put up your, you can say when you want to hide your profile or when you want it to be visible, and typically what I recommend is just turn off on the settings for privacy as you change your setting and profile, and then when you're done, go back and change it. Someone asked an interesting question earlier, which is, I feel like all of this takes a lot of time, you know, and you know, as you're sharing this, I feel like, you know, this is a huge investment in time. And really, I think if you spend 2 hours on it every 3 months, you're fine. It's just a matter of making sure that your information is current and making sure that it's, that there's no information that you need to get rid of. So I think that's important. If you have a maiden name, you can certainly put that information in as well. I think that, you know, it's important to, again, keep that information consistent across platforms. Again, if you'd like additional information on LinkedIn, I have a handout of 8 tips for LinkedIn. If you send me an email at the end of the day or send me an invitation to connect on LinkedIn, and you say hello and not just I'd like to connect with you on LinkedIn, you tell me how we know each other and you ask me a question, I'd be happy to connect. And again, share with you some additional resources on LinkedIn. Moving into Twitter, I wanted to share with you why I think Twitter can be a really powerful tool for making connections. Twitter has 300 million users, a lot of jobs on Twitter, a lot of opportunities, a lot of traffic. But the main reason it is so valuable is that it is a barrier buster. So, for example, if you put an ampersand in front of any user's name, they will see that like a postcard. So I actually put this message to, I wrote Amy at City this summer and actually said, may I interview you for Startwire News? She got back to me. We had a wonderful hour-long conversation, and I posted a blog post about our interview, and she saw that immediately through Twitter and the @reply system. I have gotten permission to republish from Kodak's chief marketing officer with a follow-up within 30 minutes, which I thought was amazing. I have had a conversation with David Pogue, the author of The Missing Manual and the New York Times technology editor. I mean, it's just an amazing tool for having conversations. So if you haven't used Twitter before, let me know if you'd be interested in attending one of my Twitter workshops, because it's a lot of fun and I'd be happy to take you through it. Finally, the last resource that I'm going to mention today is a site that I am affiliated with and I do work for. That is Startwire. It's a free private site. And one of the unique features of Startwire is it provides you with tools that you can use to streamline your job search. Connections, when you've applied to a company, it gives you hot links to Glassdoor where you can see salary information about positions and interview questions that may be asked. And finally, it connects to some of the it helps you get status updates on the state of your job application. So one thing that isn't often shared is that many companies actually have features in their applicant tracking systems and their profiles that you create when you apply for the job that get updated but not necessarily sent to the applicant. So, for example, if an employer views your application, you might not get a note that it's been viewed, but if you were to track that job in StartWire and that capability was available, StartWire would send you an email or a text message to let you know that your application had been viewed. So it's kind of a neat little feature there. And it also recommends networking connections. So when you look at a job on StartWire, it'll say, you know these two people. Do you want to send them a postcard and ask for help? So that's just a neat little tool. But summing it all up today, and then I'm going to be opening up for the next 10 minutes for questions. I really believe that you can have privacy and your professional presence too. You can walk that balancing act. You have some control over how you were found online and great control over how you present yourself. And you can really think about yourself. I encourage you to think about yourself as your own PR or marketing agent. You know, what do you want the world to know about what it is that you do? So with that, I'm going to turn it over and give you my contact information on the last slide. Again, please feel free to send me an email. We will send that out with the handouts this afternoon. And I hope to hear from you. And now I'll start answering questions. So it looks like one of the first questions that I got was, will StartWire show up in your Google results? And the answer is absolutely not. StartWire is completely private, and one of the things that makes it different from some of the other job search applications on Facebook is that it only shows up, you only connect with friends if you've asked for help from them and you've sent them a private postcard, essentially. So I had some questions here on how to manage old search results. And again, my best information from that is to take those search results and replace them. I mean, the best way to do that is to replace it with new information on those top most frequently accessed sites, because that will push down any old information that is wrong. There are also some sites such as Pipel, and blanking on the other one, but there are some sites that gather information about you from other sites, and you can go to those sites and click on them and edit information if it's not current. So that's one way to do that. I'm trying to read all the questions. I'm having trouble with the scroll because my bar is relatively small, so please bear with me. So I'm going to see if I can look at this in a separate, okay, got it. So the questions were, I'm a very old-fashioned pre-electronic guy and find this stuff bewildering. Where can I find guidance? And I would say there are a number of really simple books online. One that I recommend a lot is from a friend of mine, Miriam Salpeter, and that's just called Social Networking, and it's just a good, solid, basic book about how to get started. So I think that's a great way to begin that. I think there's another question on how to separate the private and the public you. I know I answered that earlier and said it's all the same thing to some extent, but one thing that you can do is, for example, if you're using, you could use a different name, so on Facebook, and just let your friends know that if you need anonymity. I've also had friends who just untag themselves religiously from every picture that's put up with information, and just also just creating some social information under a variation of your name or a nickname. Someone else has asked me, how does one reconcile more than one job search objective without committing to a single online reputation? And that, Andrew, is something that I specialize in my work with clients. And I use stories to share those, stories and metaphors and introductory paragraphs to discuss those different interests and how they all fit in and are unified. So that's something that I work on people with quite a lot. I can give you my favorite example of that. Is I was working with a yoga instructor who also was an electrical engineer and worked on cardiac products. So her, and she really wanted to do something more ultimately in yoga, but for now she needed to have a LinkedIn profile that didn't say she was looking for a job. So her LinkedIn product started, or LinkedIn summary started, you know, in five words, this is what I do. I help people breathe. You know, by day I help develop cardiac medical devices, and at night I teach yoga. So that gave information. I think that I got another question about that said basically my organization dissolved publicly with a good deal of media coverage, not all of it correct. How do I offset bad press and newspapers and accounts and blogs? And actually, that is a fantastic question. And I think that one of my favorite things about LinkedIn is it's so different from your resume. So it's okay to have a job description on LinkedIn where you say I, or you say, well, this job was titled, you know, business development, but this was really an educational job, and I created a national education program that was, or a regional education program that was adopted nationally, or, you know, I worked at this company in this capacity until the company went out of business after, and then you provide what really happened in that information. I got a question here about whether I recommend the LinkedIn upgrade accounts as opposed to the free ones, and I personally have never used the upgraded account. I only used the upgraded accounts when I was a recruiter, and I think there's a lot you can do within the basic account. One of the things that I do a lot to find individuals and follow up if I don't have a connection is I look for email addresses, and I'll share with you a little secret of that you can use to find information. So, for example, one of the things you can do is figure out how to identify somebody else's email address. So, for example, I know that all of the email addresses at Virginia are at virginia.edu. And so if I was, and now as I say this, I realize it might not be a great example because my personal email address, I still remember, was ECB7J, which is a little bit harder to figure out. But let's say we were looking at Bank of America. So all of their email addresses end at bankofamerica.com. So if I was to go to Google and put in a star and an at symbol and an ampersand, then any of that information would actually come up in that people's email addresses, then I can see the nomenclature. So if I figure out that the company is using a first initial, a middle initial, and the last name to assign an email address, all I need to do is to find that individual's first name, middle initial, last name, and then plug it into the email formula. So that's a quick trick that I use to find email addresses. I think there have been some questions on maiden names, And I think the most important thing to do with your maiden name, if you've changed names, is to always leave your original name in the search as well. And then typically that will come up, or that will come up very quickly. So I think that answers that question. I'm just trying to see if we have any more questions. Marianne, any comments? I think okay, so great. Bilingual. Multiple languages out on their page. I have never seen that. I've rarely seen that done. I think you can certainly put in your skills section your languages. So if you speak Italian and English, you should put that in your skills section. LinkedIn does give you access to, you can have up to 3 web links, and you can also add applications such as Box.net, where you can upload files. So what you could do is actually upload a file that that translates your current LinkedIn profile into Italian, or you know, make a copy of your LinkedIn profile in Italian and put that slide up there, or put that file up there through one of LinkedIn's apps. That's how I would do. I got a question on Twitter, are there expectations on how often you tweet? I think the key on Twitter is, and actually I think 40% of users set up accounts and never come back. I really do think that social media, even if you want to do it a lot, can be done in only 15 minutes a day. In our book, we actually provide a framework for how to do that. But the thing that I think is critical, if you want to keep your presence up online a little bit, is just to go online, you know, once or twice a week and just put something in your LinkedIn box or comment on other people's things. You can also participate on Twitter without ever tweeting at all. So you can just use Twitter as a news source or an information stream. So really, all of this with social media, you know, your decision about how much you want to lean forward or you want to lean back is all really up to you. I know we're coming up at the top of the hour, and many of you probably have to get back to work. But I will be here for a few more minutes, and I just wanted to say many, many thanks for spending this time with me. I've enjoyed it and would love to hear from some of you offline. Again, you've got my phone number and you've got my LinkedIn address, and we will be sending you my email later today as well, and hope to hear from you. And again, best of luck to you. Let me just jump in for a second for those of you who are still here to remind you that we will be sending everyone who pre-registered the recording of today's webinar. For those who didn't register, we'll be posting the video next week. And our next webinar is with Betty Schott, who was in the first class of what I'm going to do. Wait for you to see it, okay? And then her first is Donna's journey to exceptional leadership. Go to the alumni association's webpage, click on career services, and webinars and events. There's the URL there to register. And then again, you are invited to join in the University of Richmond Recruiting Network and community. I know that she only said she could stay up a little longer than anybody has. More questions, I see quite a few of you are still here, so I'm going to turn it back to you, Tim.
Great. So I'm just looking. We've got so many people leaving that it's hard for me to see a little bit of it's hard for me to see any specific questions coming in right now. So, okay, here's one. Best approach to launching a blog. And I would say there is, if you type in how to start a blog, you will come up with lots of free ebooks. But I think that one of the best ways to start a blog is to think about something that you'd like to blog about, but even before then, perhaps find somebody else who's blogging and ask if you can write what's called a guest post. And the guest post is just what it sounds like. It's basically coming into a site and writing a short piece on a topic, and then you get a chance to try out blogging. And if you're and the host puts it up and you run it and you see what your responses are and you can go forward from there. But again, Blogger is pretty great because I think it is in Google. There are lots of different ways to market your blog and to move forward with that. I'm seeing fly by a question on seeing a couple questions. Let's see. I'm just scrolling through this. Do I recommend buying your name on Google to raise your return ranking? Yes, I think that can be a good idea. And just reserving your domain name in general can be a good best practice. Another question I have is, how can I best use Facebook and LinkedIn to help promote my consulting business among the industry community, many of whom are in my networks? Looks like that person has left the main room, but the answer to that question is to create company pages on LinkedIn and also on Facebook. At this time, Marianne, do you have any other outstanding questions that you could run by me? Are you able to see those?
There's one I don't even know if someone says that I'm looking to completely switch careers. There's something I include my current title on my LinkedIn title. That's a great question. If you're looking to
put your experience to change the issues. You shouldn't include your current title on your LinkedIn page under your company page, but under your introductory title, you should change it to showcase the information that you want to put forward. So for example, you might put a skill that you have, or you know, an interest that you have, but if you're currently employed, you need to be careful about how to do that. Other questions? You go to have put your optimizers to send your results to proactively manage your visibility if you're not an SEO expert. I think the key thing is if you're not an SEO expert, and I'm not myself, I think the key thing is to be complete. So to use the keyword, you can use strategies similar to the tactic crowd information that they shared. But I think the key thing is to be visible on those sites that get high traffic. I see what's the best way to list non-work time on LinkedIn if you were a stay-at-home parent or temporarily retired. And I think you could simply add it as a job or in skills. LinkedIn has a new section feature capability, so you might be able to create a section where you just discuss the volunteer work you did during that time. And then also in your profile, I think it's okay to disclose that. Many, many people have been in that situation, and I think that's okay. Other questions? It looks like we're pretty well set, but I want to thank you again, Stanley. I want to thank everybody who's asked questions. We really appreciate your participation. I hope we can invite you back again. And thank you. Thank you for spending your time with us today. We really appreciate it. We're going to sign thank you off now. And Chandler, let's see you. If you'd like to stay on with you, we'll be signing everybody else off the sooner for you all. So
someone off will just do not worry to get our report. So thanks everybody for participating goodbye everybody.
Great. Thank you.
Right. Great. So everybody, please come to the phone. See if we can. I wanted to check you. Everybody, you go. I'll see how we buy every blossom. So, you want to help me remove people?
I just want to say thank you so much, family. This was really very useful.
Great.
It was just wonderful.
Great.
is what the future is there is higher ed institutions.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we'd be happy Georgetown, which also does
quite a bit. Oh, that'd be quite
a great. Okay, we will do that, Dad, because I've noticed we've sent some other folks that way, and they're showing up on the stairs. So, on their stable. My is so for you as well. So,
referrals and all of that.
But yeah. So we'll send you that information, and thank you again so much.
Have
any consulting work you need done, and let me know that too. We absolutely do. Overwhelmed. I can imagine.
I mean, we all know what it's like. I mean, it's a ton of fun. But then, what I really do, just so you understand and sort of my private services, is I basically use, I don't know if you ever heard of the DISC assessment process.
Yes.
But I use the DISC, and then I use the DISC to find out how people approach problems, relationships, pace, all of that, and then I use the results to create a dialogue with a custom LinkedIn profile.
Awesome.
And that works really well and just helps people show their personality and sort of helps them position themselves for the job that feels like the best fit. I enjoy it quite a lot. So
yeah, and I can see how that was, but also help us write a resume.
Exactly. And it just helps people clarify what they want to be doing and what they don't want to be doing. And, you know, sort of going with the grain. So